next speaker is Mo, who works for the Cyborg Foundation, and she will be presenting this foundation now, which was founded, I think, in 2017 in Barcelona, and we will now learn much more about this. So please give a warm round of applause.
Hi, is this working? Hola. Okay, hello, do you hear me well? Yes, okay, thank you. So as they said, my name is Mo Akamagnet, and I work in Cyborg Foundation Labs, and it's what I'm gonna present today. It's been a long time since I don't give a talk, so please, and I didn't sleep very much, so please be benevolent with me, okay? I'll talk about CFL and its story. First of all, I'll be a little bit fast in the story, and then I will explain what we are up to right now. So the beginnings of the Cyborg Foundation was created by these two artists, Neil Harbison and Moon Ribas, that you might know. They are both considered by media the two first female and male cyborg artists. And, well, as you can see, the CF, what it does, it's an organization that encourages humans to become cyborgs and promote cyborgism as an art movement. So first of all, I'll talk about Neil Harbison. Neil Harbison is a person that is colorblind. He only sees in gray scale. So then in 2004, he decided to get an implant in his skull of an antenna. It's called an iBorg. And what it does is that it detects colors as frequencies. So he has the sound connected to his skull, and the vibrations of the colors, he can read them. So whenever he hears an F, a fa, it's color red, for example, no? Later on, nowadays, he decided he wanted to get a crown, a sense of time, a solar crown, which is a sensor that, it's a sense that we are developing right now in Cyborg Foundation Labs. This time sense is very interesting because, here on the left, I think, on the right, on your left, you can see the circuit that we did. So this time sense, it's a crown that reproduces the movement of the Earth towards the sun. So, well, not towards the sun, towards itself. And the thing is that it gives different points of hot with some resistors, depending on where the sun is. So if he feels here the heat, this means that it's 12 in London. I hope you understand me a little bit, but yes. And so this was a problem to elaborate because with Arduino, you have too much pins, and you have too much power, too much current, so you have like a lot of current, and it's impossible to power it up. So then we decided to work with a Tiny 85, and the idea that we had is to use this microcontroller called WS2811, which is a shift register, and that is used for RGB LEDs, okay? And we are generating 12 inputs of hot with those resistors, using only the Tiny 85. And what is very interesting about this is that Neil Harbison, his idea is that, you know that Einstein, he says, if we have time illusions. No, not time illusions, sorry. Optic illusions, okay? So if his brain is able to connect to feel time instead of the 24 hours day we have, feeling time through his skull, he will be able to have time illusions. I don't know if you understood that, because maybe I'm not explaining myself very good, but the thing is that you know that our brain is very plastic, so it can get used to the new senses that we are introducing it to our body. So the thing is that when he feels all this heat going around his head, he has this perception of time, and if he slows down this rotatory time passing, he thinks that he's gonna be able to slow his perception of time, so to age slower. Okay, so now you have to sync this. Then I'm gonna talk about Moon Rivas. She's a choreographer and dancer. And she, like, at 2007, she got these seismic sensors on her feet that were connected to Bluetooth, to a mobile phone, to some servers that reproduced the different seismic movements that are around the world. And she does these performances with a big tambor, okay, with a big drum. And she reproduces all the earthquakes that have happened, for example, in Mexico from 1880 till nowadays. But 2 months ago, she decided to take off these seismic sensors. And what is very interesting, as I said before, our brain is very plastic. So for more than 10 years, she had these sensors. So when she took them off, her brain was repeating these movements. So that's what it's called, ghost cyborg, because she doesn't have any more of these sensors, but she feels the vibrations. Another circuit that we elaborated is the transdental communication system. It's a Bluetooth tooth. Both Neil Harbison and Moon Rivas, they included a Bluetooth-enabled button and a mini vibrator, so they could talk via Morse code by pressing their teeth. Right now, they took it off, so they're not wearing it anymore, but they used it for some years. Then later on, after 2017, some more people got inside the project, and we changed the name, and we call it Transspecies Society. Well, it's the same, but just another name, so I'm just gonna pass fast. Here in your right, you can see Manel Muñoz, which is another cyborg artist. Manel Muñoz, he has a barometric sense that it senses pressure, temperature, and humidity. First of all, this circuit used to make vibrations in his skull. So the thing is, you have this circuit, no? Which senses humidity, pressure, and temperature. And depending on the levels of these three parameters, he will feel some vibrations, stronger or slow or softer vibrations. But nowadays, we changed this circuit, and the input that he's receiving is a bone conduction sound wave. So he has this flash memory inside the circuit, which reproduces bubble sounds, and depending on if it's more pressure or if it's more humid, he will feel more bubbles, a different type of bubble, and that's it. So nowadays, this year, 2019, we created the Cyborg Foundation Labs, which is like a new emerging for us. And we are centered, we are based in Barcelona, and we give voice to non-human identities. We are a group of technicians, philosophers, designers, and artists, as I already said, that we explore the relationship between species and also how we can evolve as humans. As you see, we base our experimentation on nature, because humans, we have 5 senses, no? But depending on how you check it, we have 5, 6, 7, it depends. But the idea is that we look through nature, through all the beings, because they have some senses that we don't. And this helps us a lot to innovate. Till now, I've only talked about artists. I don't consider myself an artist. I consider myself a technician. And I am from the crowd of technicians, no? Well, technicians are the core of the association, and we are the ones to create all these ideas that artists have, or that we by ourselves have. Then we have philosophers, who are the ones that generate the cyborg theory, and some designers that are the ones that take care of the materials. Here I am, I just wrote some, because I don't want to only talk about artists, so I just put the technicians here. Fenix Binario, he's the main technician, and he's a great developer, and he is the one to generate all these new circuits that we have to generate. because all these new circuits are not created yet. We invent them using the materials and the circuits that we have on, in a commercial view. We apply it to our domain and rebuild them and improve them. Well, we also have Judith Perez, who is a designer, but she's also a technician, and myself, and I don't have a website, so I didn't put my website. The philosopher, Tatiana Fanador López, and a designer, Oroy Alba. There are many, many more people collaborating with us, but I didn't have time to put them all. They didn't connect me, so never mind. Okay, now I'm gonna talk about Cosmic Race Organ. This organ is an organ that helps you to detect the cosmic rays that travel around the atmosphere. Cosmic rays are these particles, they crash onto the atmosphere, and also to muons. And the thing is that we used a project from the MIT that they designed, which I don't know if there's someone here from the MIT, but there were a lot of errors in the circuit. But we are using this circuit from the MIT where they detect the cosmic rays. The thing is that you have a cell with some oxides, I don't know how you say it, inside a dark chamber with a scintillator, okay, which is a type of polymer. And this helps you to, it bounces, these particles bounce, and they reduce the speed of the muons so that we can detect them. So we detect these muons, and we give an input to the person that has this sense. And in this case, we did the same as the pressure, as the pressure sense, where this person is gonna hear frequencies and sounds. Mm-mm-mm. And right now, we are, as I said before, presenting myself here. We are developing a new way, because one of the most problems that we have with our sensors, is that it's battery problems. Because these new organs are supposed to be with you all your life, at least 1 year, no? So what do you do with power? It's a big problem. So right now we are just developing, I wanted to bring a prototype here, but some materials that we bought didn't arrive, so I was not able to bring it. But we are right now developing this Seebeck effect. It's the first prototype developed ever. And I don't know if you know what Seebeck effect is, but it's a thermoelectric effect. And this thermoelectric effect, what it does is that it converts temperature difference to voltage, and it also and also vice versa. So as you can see here, we have the prototype designed. And well, the back view is just the aluminum, it's just the back view, so whatever. Then we can see the dissipator, the heat sink, and the chip. Basically, what you have is two plates of two different materials, like copper and constantan. I don't know how to say it in English, but whatever. And the thing is that when they enter in contact with your skin, if there is a difference of temperature, it is going to generate voltage. So to generate voltage, the temperature must be at least from 9 to 11 Celsius. And if the temperature is the difference of temperature is lower, it will set to hibernate. That's why if the temperature is higher, we will have a battery so that we can help, we can store it and use it when necessary. It's still a prototype, so we are still working on it and figuring out the charge and the discharge systems and which IC we can use. Here you can see in the top view, you can see these are the plates that will be in contact with the skin. And yeah. To finish, I would like to say that our future expectations is to generate a bidirectional connection, because as I explained to you, right now we have the wall. So the wall generates some inputs, no? And these sensors that we have, they read these inputs and they throw some output that us as human will read as an input. But this is a unidirectional connection. As you can see, there is no back and forth between the sensor and ourselves. So our expectations from the for the future are to generate this bidirectional connection where you are able to communicate with your organ, and the organ is able to communicate with yourself. And I'm actually done. I don't know if I've been super fast, but the thing is that we are calling for engineers to come work with us in Barcelona. We can work also on distance, but we are very interested to collaborate with people anyone. But with technicians, it would be better. So as you can see, you are more than welcome to our lab and our team to experiment and build together. And thank you.
Thank you.
It's been 15 minutes.
Oh, we have plenty of time. Okay, so please prepare extremely long questions. We have a lot of time. As you know, this time we only have one microphone, Angel. So if you have a question or something to discuss, just go to this gentleman over there and go speak into the microphone. Does anyone have a question yet?
We are also open to receive people that want to get some new senses, and yeah. We can talk later then.
All right, we have a question.
Does anyone have
okay,
a question?
Thank you. Hello, I'm over here.
Where? Okay.
Doesn't help, does it? Thank you for the talk. I was really interested in your Seebeck effect prototype. So one of the problems I've been having is generating power or having a battery inside the body. So for implantable devices, how have you done any research into powering those?
Yes, actually we have some implanted devices inside. And for now, the battery stays outside. We haven't implanted yet in this case.
All right. Any more questions from anyone? Okay, maybe one question from me. For to do the Seebeck effect stuff, how large do you need the temperature gradient to be?
From 9 to 11 degrees.
Okay, so not for camp use.
Huh?
So it's not usable at camp where it's super hot.
It depends on your body temperature. It depends on the difference of the body temperature and the temperature of the outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the idea is to generate a system that, as a house, no? When you have the solar, with your solar panels, you generate a system where when there's no sun, you still have your batteries working on because you stored it. So that would be the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How large is the device that you showed?
Actually, I don't know. Because my friend was the one who designed this the image, the prototype. So I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure. I cannot tell you anything.
Okay.
I'm
going
to ask and let you know.
All right, we have a question from the audience.
Yeah, could you speak more to how the current cyborgs who use powered devices are dealing with batteries and dealing with charging to make it as seamless a part of their lives as possible without these devices that you're currently developing? Mm.
So right now we are working with a Tiny. So a Tiny has a really, really low current consumption. So I don't have any sense installed in me, so I'm not able to speak for them. We would need to ask them how they work, how do they do it. But actually, we only take off the battery and put it back again. And that's what I'm saying, that we are like looking for very low consumption ICs, microcontrollers. So right now, with the Tiny, we are working fine.
Okay. Just one second. If someone in the room wants to be a signal angel for this talk, please just maybe talk to the stage manager in the back, and then we can also receive questions from the internet, which would be very cool. Thank you. Now, please.
Hi. Thanks again for this great talk. I was curious about two aspects that are a bit boring. One is, how do you fund your work?
How do you find? Oh yes,
yeah.
That's the part that I didn't add. So right now we are trying to see a way to financiate ourselves. Right now, none of us are receiving any money. It's all because we love it. As I said, we have a little bit of problems between artists and technicians. Actually, I wanted to bring some devices here, but all the artists were like, no, 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 I'm sorry, no? I'm keeping it, it's too risky, no, no, no. And I'm like, what? We developed it for you and you don't let me bring it here, no? But the thing is that, right now we are starting to, on September, because the laboratory emerged this year. I mean, I explained some years ago they were working, but they were more artistic and more themselves. They go to talks by themselves because they are known. But right now, we are emerging as a collective, as a technician, designers, and philosophers, and we are looking ways of financiation. Some ways of financiation would be the no-return financiation, no? So we are developing these documents to send to different enterprises that would be interested in our project, and then they would give us some financiation with no return. But we are also planning to do some workshops and some parties in our bunker, we call it, so that we can financiate all this. Because we have a problem between the cyborg, the artists, that the people that wants to get some new senses, because we don't make them pay at all. So we are like working like crazies and giving the work to other people, and we are not getting anything in our laboratory. I don't know if you are getting me, sorry my English. But the thing is that the last thing I talked with my colleagues was, okay, no more sense for anyone. We will build senses for us, just some prototypes to have them here. If they want them in a commercial way, they're gonna have to pay for it, no? Okay, so in this case, we are totally open distribution. Schematics, everything is totally open. But if you're gonna use it in a commercial way, then yes, you're gonna have to pay for the rights. I don't know if I...
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. So that leads to my second question, which is somehow related. I started working on an electronic implant a few years ago with body modification artist called Samba von Cyborg, you might know anyway. And my approach was to go through academia. So we started trying to get some ethical approval from the academic world, which is almost impossible. Do you have any constraints on certification and this kind of problems?
Okay, so I think this is my weak point, because I'm not sure about it. But what I do know is that, as I said, I don't like to consider myself an artist, but what happens with art is that everything fits there. So that's why all my colleagues that are with some senses and they consider themselves artists, cyborgs, they call themselves artists because everything fits in art. So people will not question yourself if you say it's art. No? What I do know is that Neil Harrison had some trouble with police. He wanted to cross the passport airport, and he had two problems. One was in the airport with his antenna. They were saying that he could not cross it because in his picture was without antenna, and he had the antenna. And he started a bureaucratic situation where they finally recognized him as the first cyborg, so he could pass and cross the aduana. Well, and then he also had some problems with police, where they broke his. He had some troubles in Barcelona. I don't know if he was drinking on the street or whatever. And they hit him and they broke his antenna. But about bureaucratic stuff, I think we should have here my colleagues to talk about it. I mean, because I'm not into that. I'm into electronics. Thank you.
Okay, I think we found a signal angel. So if you're on the stream, you might be able to. Okay, no. The answer is no. All right.
First of all, thank you for your talk. It was super clear. I'm wondering, usually when we want to sleep well at night, we shut the light, we have no sound, pretty not too warm, not too cold room, etc. So do you know if these people, cyborgs, have a, like a quiet mode for their sensors or just turned enough or something? Because you cannot really control like cosmic rays, for example.
That's a good question. I think each person would do whatever they feel like. But what I know that they don't do is take it off. Because they are too concentrated. I mean, they are too focused on that. But for example, Neil Harrison, he has his antenna is connected he gave permission to three friends of them around the world to send him colors so that whenever he sleeps, he dreams with those colors, with these frequencies. You have to think of these devices as your own organ. So whenever you are sleeping and suddenly you open your eyes, you are still sleeping. Some people would, I don't know, maybe some people would sleep with all the whites. But your ears, you're not able to close them either, whether you put some plugs, no? So this organ works the same. I mean, it's part of your body. So whether you are sleeping, whether you are awake, the organ is functioning. So, and as I said, the brain is very plastic. The brain is like a sculpture. You can model it and do whatever you want. After some months, maybe 6 months, maybe 1 year, your brain gets super used to it, to this new sense that you have. And you don't even feel it anymore. You don't even feel it not yours. It's totally yours. Actually, if they take it off, you're totally like fucked up, no? And yeah, as I said, when you sleep, your ears are still on. You're not able to turn them off. So that would be the same with the organ.
All right. Any other questions? If anything else you want to show?
Well, I would want to say, well, there is a video, but it's a stupid video, so no. So, but thank you very much for listening, and you are more than welcome to come to our laboratory or talk via wherever you want, and yeah, thank you.